Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Nice. And I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Annie Fry. Day 2 of 5, I get to fill in for Annie. Brad, good to be with you again. Thank you. Thank you for being here today and putting all of this together, because I have literally, I would say 10% of the job. You have 90% of it. I don't know what it would look like without you.
Well, thank you for that. Sometimes I feel like I'm just hanging on, but I appreciate that.
That's what it's called, radio, just hanging on. So much.
This is true. This is what I've learned since I've started. It's just like, okay, grab a hold, hang on, and you can get through this.
Well, you were a teacher, though, before this, right?
Substitute teacher. Yeah. I taught full-time for a little while. I also was lawn care.
Oh, okay.
I had a lawn care business.
Teaching's in demand, and you had the summers off, which they hate when you say that.
Yeah. What is it? The three best reasons to be a teacher are June, July, and August?
Yep. And you get to post a lot of teacher memes on social media that talk about how difficult your job is. That is also an added benefit to it all. So we have a YouTube chat poll every day. You put one up on the YouTube page, which you can go watch us live. I'm in my basement right now, if you want to see what that looks like. What's the chat poll for today?
Well, today is Elon Musk's last day. He's leaving. Actually, yesterday might have been his last day, but he's doing a press conference with Donald Trump here shortly. And we want to know, was Doge a success? And so we got three options here for you. Yes, it was a huge success. No, it was a total failure. Or yes, but there's still work to be done.
Ooh, good question there. That's on the YouTube poll. What time's that press conference? Is it?
Fox News says soon. So my guess is it was scheduled for 1 Eastern, and it will go when they're ready.
Okay. We might get lucky. We might be able to dip in a little bit to it. That might be fun to hear some of the comments. We also have the National Institute of Health director, Dr. Jay Bhattacharya, is going to join us in about 5 minutes from now, which is super exciting. Looking forward to that. Generally speaking, I know there's going to be people on the YouTube chat poll that want to give their comments about Elon Musk stepping down. And there's been a lot of commentaries about his legacy, what that's going to look like. I think that if you're Elon Musk, you're very much looking forward to stepping out of the government light for a moment, because I'm going to guess the amount of hate he's received, as much as he tries to play off it doesn't affect him, it probably has affected him. Mm-hmm. At that level, that scale, I don't know how, as a human being, that you'd be able to just shake all of that sort of thing off. I think the only person that can do that on the planet is Donald Trump. He's the only person capable of shaking off that much hate. But if he goes back and he works on Tesla and going to Mars and all the different aspects of that, I think he'll just be happier in general. And I hope that his legacy continues on, because it's a worthy legacy to cut government waste. And, you know, he deserves a lot of credit for finding and rooting out all the things that he found. Now, the big question is, will they take it seriously or not? I hope that they continue to look for these things and maybe double or triple what he found after he leaves the office there.
Yeah. Looking at him, like, he kind of changed how we look at government spending. It's weird because to me, you know, you always knew there would be waste and fraud and abuse and all that sort of stuff. But you never really heard what exactly it was, unless like the odd story about somebody coming out, getting prosecuted for defrauding the government or something like that would come out. But you never really saw to what extent. And his work and his efforts actually led to the closing of certain departments of the government for how much waste, fraud, and abuse was in there. And it was a lot of it was abuse, where they were sending money over to things and only pennies on the dollar were actually going to the cause, and then everything else was going to the organization. So I think it's been a shift in the way Americans think about waste, fraud, and abuse and looking at the government. So,
you know, have you heard some of these Democratic leaders that said it's going to take us years to recover from all the cuts of DOGE? And I thought to myself, no, we don't. The whole point is you don't recover. The whole point is they stay off the books. You don't just continue on with wasteful spending, as in as soon as there's someone not in office named Donald Trump, that you can go back to the wasteful spending ways. That's the whole point. You're not supposed to recover from this. You're supposed to find ways to adapt to this and live under a more meager or more, let's say, responsible budget to begin with. And ultimately not making waste a acceptable thing in government, because it shouldn't be acceptable. And there was the great story up here in Michigan about Elon Musk. And this kind of goes to show you basically the unfiltered hate that they have for the guy that's really unjustified. So in Michigan, at first, when they were talking about closing some of these Social Security offices, they found one in the Lansing area, mid-Michigan, and said, okay, we're going to close this office down. So the first reports that came out, and of course, media reports in Michigan, the headlines were, you know, oh, it's going to be terrible. All these people are going to lose their jobs. It's going to take forever. If you need a something from the Social Security, you're going to be having to drive forever to get to it. And they just were talking about all these terrible things that were about to happen, closing the Social Security office. And then it was one of the nonprofit organizations, one of the independent news organizations, that looked into it a little bit further. And they said, okay, let's look into this branch closing. What they found was during the pandemic in 2020, this branch went fully virtual. So there were no interactions with people. It was just done through the computer, no face-to-face. And they realized they were still paying the lease on the building that they weren't using for 5 years.
Yeah.
So DOGE said, that's garbage. We're going to close a branch we're not using. We're going to save, I forgot what it was, $250,000 on this closing alone, because there's no reason for us to pay a lease on a building we're not using because the services are virtual. So that came out maybe a week after all the other reports of how terrible DOGE is trying to cut your Social Security and cut this and cut that. And ultimately speaking, this is why it was designed, and this is exactly the purpose of why it should exist and why it should be continued on, because there's a lot more examples of that. And it just was automatically met with hate when it should have been met with open arms. Luckily, Republicans, most of them, met it with open arms. I look at some of these other things that were cut, and you know, I think there's going to be some Democrats that come around to it. I think some of them are going to look at it and say, you know what, maybe he was right to cut a lot of this stuff, because I know Democrats have this reputation of loving to tax and spend, which they do.
Yes.
And maybe some of them will come around to say, well, maybe if we cut the things we don't need, then we can spend it in places we do need. And then they can make it. I think they're going to have to shift their argument, because I don't know how you can defend some of this wasteful spending. One of the other things I remember Elon mentioning was at the Department of Education, essentially, he said, we made one simple change. If you're going to invoice us something, you have to upload a receipt with that invoice. We need to know how you spent the money. And they found that people virtually stopped sending things to be invoiced.
Yes, I remember that. Whenever all we asked is, what did it, just give me a reason. And I remember him telling, I think it was on Jesse Waters' show, he's like, tell us what it was for. He said, you don't even have to tell us the truth. He goes, and whenever we did that, people stopped. They just didn't
Isn't that something? So even the smallest test of accountability was enough to scare people to realize that they were going to be accountable for the things that they were taking from the taxpayer. Isn't that scary in some ways that it's operated for as long as it has? And if you think about, let's say, the national debt and where it is today, it's who's to say that if, let's say, some of these things were slashed in the past, they wouldn't have found ways to spend the extra money anyway. But if you just say, okay, let's take the philosophy of when's the best time to plant a tree. 30 years ago would have been the best time, but the second best time is now. So now's right. The best time.
Right.
Let's do it now.
Yes.
And I hope we can do that. I know we're waiting for our guest here, and I guess part of this is government fraud, spending that is out of control when it comes to healthcare. And hopefully we'll be able to have him on here pretty soon. I think we're going to be able to arrange this in a second, but the National Institute of Health Director, Dr. Jay Bhattacharya, is going to join us in a moment. You may have seen him out, but what you find too, and one of the topics we do want to talk to him about, is that the GOP, and I think a lot of people have been under heat because there's been ads running. I hear the ads running on television and radio. The ads run there too. They basically say, call your senator, call your congressman, let them know that if Elon Musk gets his way, if Donald Trump gets his way, hundreds of thousands of people will die. Like, essentially, that's the fear ads that they're running right now. And it's absolutely ridiculous. So how about we figure this out right now? Joining us now is the National Institute of Health Director, Dr. Jay Bhattacharya. Thank you so much for joining us in St. Louis.
Oh, it's an honor. It's nice to talk with you.
So we got this big bill, and part of it is looking at Medicare, Medicaid. And I got to tell you, there's been a lot of ads running on television and radio right now that are trying to scare people about government spending when it comes to Medicaid reform in the big, beautiful bill. And, it's so interesting because the fear factor alone gets people motivated and they don't really look beyond the surface, which is kind of a shame. And maybe that's one of the things that you could do. You can tell us what exactly is going to happen to Medicaid under the big, beautiful bill.
So the thing about Medicaid, it's obviously an important program for providing health care for the poor and the disabled. That's the purpose of it, right? But what it become is essentially, in many states, a catch-all program to provide benefits that have often nothing to do with, or at least not directly with health. And it's structured in a way where able-bodied people the states will get a larger subsidy from the federal government for able-bodied people than they will for people who are actually disabled, people who are actually really sick and poor. What the big beautiful bill is it restructures the focus of the Medicaid program so that it benefits the poor and the disabled, the people for whom the benefit was originally designed, much more. It extends the work requirements. So that you actually, it's actually good for people's health to work, to be off work if you are able to work is not a good thing. And so what it says is, look, if you're able to work, you should work to qualify for Medicaid. And I think all of that is actually, I don't understand the fear mongering. I mean, I get in a sense it's politics, so I understand the fear mongering in that sense. But as far as like substantively, the way that that we treated Medicaid before is more like a pure essentially a boondoggle rather than the thing it's supposed to be, which is a lifeline for the poor and the disabled to have health care while they're unable to work. Rather than this sort of like catch-all thing that it's going to become more like that again under the big beautiful bill.
Yeah, there's a couple of different ways you can accomplish this. You can look at it and say, we need to reevaluate where this money is going and make sure it's prioritized properly so we're at least pragmatic in the way we spend it. Another big portion of this is the Make America Healthy Again, which is, I think in some ways, for all the criticisms I've had about Obamacare, preventative type of care was something that was a big part of it. And part of preventative care is to make sure we keep ourselves healthy. And I think in the same spirit, in some ways, that's something that a lot of people can agree on. And part of the commission, the Make America Healthy Again Commission, is looking at just that when it comes to our diets and some of the things that we put in our body. And this is one of the major initiatives that you guys are putting on.
Absolutely. So the key idea and the impetus behind the Make America Healthy Again bill is report is that America is not healthy. Life expectancy has been flatlined since 2012, even though we're spending tremendous amounts of money. We have vast expanses in our expansions in our Medicaid program and the Medicare program and private health spending, and that but that has not translated over to improved health. We have chronic disease problems like heart disease. We have diabetes. We have obesity rates are among the highest in the world, and we have kids who are obese at high rates, highest in American history, and that'll translate to poor, less healthy lives. We actually face a situation where we can expect our kids to live shorter, less healthy lives than we did. And so what the Make America Healthy Again report is a clarion call to do something really to understand that's the crisis that we face and to change the mechanisms of how we manage health in the government so that we encourage people to be healthier. And this is an all of the above approach. So, you know, what the food we eat, what environmental exposures we have, a call to like to encourage people to do exercise, as is appropriate for them. It's kind of an all of the above kind of approach, but it leads to like simple things. Like, so for instance, should we have in our food stamp program the ability to buy sugary drinks? I can tell you, go ahead.
I would say that, and it's okay. I think we bring up these type of debates, which is worthy debates. I remember when we debated if you should be able to use your EBT card at a strip club, like people were using it at places that were totally inappropriate. So if you're talking about the health of children, and that's why you see a lot of schools rooting out sodas inside of the schools and things like that, because they realize that, hey, this isn't really great to pump a lot of this stuff into the kids nonstop. And same thing with what you're discussing here. There's some things that the government is allowing you to get for nutrition for your bodies. The intent is to give you nutrition. So are we going to put things in these bodies that are nutritious? So that's why you have to have these debates.
Yeah, exactly. And the other thing is, we have to have real excellent gold standard science for getting the right, you know, sort of advice and guidance to people, right? So we've had, a generation of the food pyramid, and what's it resulted in is basically a malnourished America where we have, evidence of, obesity. All these are what they suggest is that we have a kind of crisis where we don't really have the right science to guide people about what the right thing to eat is. If you just think about like what happened with the advice for eggs. When I was little, my family, my dad had a heart attack. We were scared to death of eggs because the advice from public health was if you eat eggs, you're gonna die immediately or something. So I didn't have eggs when I was little. Then the advice changed to, well, you can have whites, but don't eat the yolks. And then it was like, okay, well, maybe you can have a couple, but just be careful. And now it's eggs are a wonder food. The problem is we need excellent science. Science is reproducible that doesn't just serve, commercial interests, but actually reflects real reality. And the idea isn't to say, oh, don't eat this or don't eat that. The idea is to say, well, here's what the actual information, the actual scientifically valid information is, independently verified by independent research teams, reproducible, and then you can make your choices about what to do. But you know, if I exercise 30 minutes a day, here's the benefits, and that's not exaggerated. But like real actual findings of scientific studies that are reproducible, and so I think that's another idea of the Maha report is let's get back to excellent science. A lot of what happened during COVID, for instance, is there any such thing as immunity after you get COVID, or is will masking your toddler stop you from getting and spreading COVID, which shows that the scientific engines of our country essentially have been I don't want to say corrupted, maybe too strong, but not really following rigorous protocols for validating truth. And so what the Maha report says is let's get back to excellent science.
And that is something that was, I think, concerning to a lot of people, because going back to COVID, you realize sometimes the decisions were made because they looked at it as in the best interest of the country, as opposed to what's truthful and what's best for you. So they took that choice away from you. And I think that a lot of parents really found that troubling, because if they were to raise a question, they were immediately confronted with, well, this is what the government is telling us. And we find out later the government wasn't always telling you the truth. Dr. Jay Bhattacharya is the National Institute of Health director. And I mean, when you work on this MAHA report, Make America Healthy Again, part of it is Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And, you know, he's looked at this almost on a grand scale, and it's something that he studied for his life. And I look at it, you talk about simple things you can do, and I think there's things on a macro level as an individual and as a family, you can change certain things, but there's going to be things that you probably didn't know about, and there's things that you can't change, and that's why you need people like RFK Jr. that know these things and to try to do it for the best. You know, for example, one of the big things we're talking about, these artificial dyes that add nothing to flavor but have all these other health consequences. Why are we allowing certain things to happen in this country when other countries have outlawed it? So it kind of works on a big and a small scale at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to take a lot. It's not going to be one thing, but that food dyes is a good example, right? So the philosophy in Europe is, if you don't know for sure it's safe, you're not really really shouldn't be giving it to people at scale, right? So why have petroleum based food dyes if you haven't proven it's safe? In this country, unless it's proven unsafe, you could just give it to people at scale. The government doesn't test those food dyes for health effects extensively. It's just assumed to be safe. There's literally something called a standard called generally recognized as safe. And the FDA then says, okay, if it's generally recognized as safe, well, you can just do it. Is there no requirement that the companies that put these dyes in the food prove that it's safe? It's really a question of burden of proof and thresholds. We have to say, look, America is facing a massive chronic disease crisis, making us and our kids less healthy than we ought to be. If you want to address that, you have to hold basically everyone to higher standards, to say, look, if you want to give kids food dyes, if you want to give people allow people to use food stamps to buy really sugary drinks, if you want to make recommendations about what the diet should be really, let's use our common sense, say, like, let's hold us to a really high standard, so you assume that so you have to prove things that you don't have to go out of your way to prove things that are that aren't really necessary, like petroleum-based food dyes, as unsafe before you say don't do it. And also you hold it to high standards for the guidelines and the recommendations you give to people. You need to have really excellent evidence before you say eggs are bad for you.
Right. Now, if people wanted to look more up about the report, the MAHA report, Make America Healthy Again, maybe they have some questions, what's a good spot?
Actually, I recommend reading the report. It's written in a way that almost anyone can understand it. Even I can follow it, and it's available on the White House website. So just if you type in the MAHA report, "Make Our Children Healthy Again," it's available right there.
Yeah, whitehouse.gov, and you're looking at health expenditures per capita and where the United States sits, and there's all kinds of really easy to read charts. And, you know, I really hope that you're successful in this mission. I feel like a lot of times parents have made these individual choices once they've learned about it. But the problem is not everyone knows about it. Sometimes it's just, well, it's the way my parents fed me. And that's fine, because look at me. I'm still all right. But there's a lot of these little changes you can make in your life that can make your life a lot better.
Yeah, and there's also policies we can adopt to make our children healthier than they should. They really deserve. We're taking away their birthright if we expose them to chemicals and other things that make them less healthy over their lives. We can fix that.
Dr. Jay Bhattacharya, National Institute of Health Director, in the MAHA report, Make America Healthy Again. You can find that whitehouse.gov. I'm so glad you were able to spend some time with us here in St. Louis. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Whitehouse.gov. I'm looking at the report right now. When you search it, it's like the first thing that pops up, the whitehouse.gov. So look at these. Like, childhood cancer incident has risen dramatically. Childhood cancer incidence 40% since 1975. Why is that? You know, you have to start asking some of these questions. And I think he's right on when he talks about government involvement, in the sense that we can look back at COVID as a prime example of that. One of the examples is the government told you this. If you had questions about it, you're looked at as anti-science and you want people to die. You're like, you must hate your community. You must hate your neighbor for even bringing up any question about something. And then we later find out that some of these decisions were made for the sake of resources as opposed to health.
Yeah.
That's scary to me.
Yes.
We need to, that's not science-based. If you want to be science-based, you got to be science-based.
That is the thing. Like, skepticism is the source. It's like the essence of what science is. Ask the question, challenge it, try it out, find out what you see. I love that they're going to the gold standard. I love it. Prove that it's healthy. Don't force us to prove that it's unhealthy.
Yeah. Brad, I got to tell you, that was a good get. You got a great guest right there.
We got great people working with us over at the White House. So,
yeah, Dr. Jay Bhattacharya, he joins us there. And we went a little bit late because, you know, this segment normally would be segment two. So we have to take a break now. We'll come back. And after the break, some things that the Trump administration is now advising certain agencies to do and not do. I think this is pretty simple, actually. It seems pretty pragmatic in a way. So we'll talk about that coming up in a little bit later, too. To be or not the bee. The bee or not the bee. What is that? Ethan joins us with that segment a little bit later, too. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Andy Fry, 97.1 FM Talk.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So good. Dr. Jay Bhattacharya. Just like, wow.
Super excited to have him on.
Brad, I'm telling you, man, you're getting the big guests.
I'm trying.
Hey, is Donald Trump and Elon Musk speaking yet?
Not yet. We're still waiting. It just says soon.
All right. Do they have a camera fixed on an empty podium at the moment?
No, they have the camera fixed on the outside view of the White House with the Washington Monument in the background.
Nice. Very nice. So I guess we can talk a little bit about the Elon Musk stepping down stuff, and we can do that later. But that's the poll question. So if you want to go vote in the YouTube chat poll, was Doge a success? Let me do this real quick. I don't know if you saw this story from The Hill, but Trump administration directed its agencies to not hire individuals based on race, sex, or religion while it works to overhaul the federal government through major cuts and restructuring. So they outlined the merit hiring plan, which were sent to the heads of departments and agencies, telling them not to use statistics like race, sex, ethnicity, national origin, or the broader concept of underrepresentation to hire or recruit. So essentially, the Trump administration has to say, we have to tell people not to discriminate in hiring anymore because there's so much discrimination going on based on hiring people on their race, sex, or religion that they need a reminder that that's unacceptable. Isn't that something?
That's wild. When you stop and think about it, it's wild. Wait, so what you're telling me is we want a colorblind society, a sex-blind society. We want to hire the best person for the job because they have the attributes to do the job very well. That's the goal, right? That's merit. And what that also tells me is that over the past 4 years, what the previous administration was doing was looking at things like race or sex and deciding we want to hire this person based on that. And that has nothing to do with a person's ability to do a job.
Wow. What a concept, honestly. If you think about all the different leaps and bounds this country has had over the last 100 years when it comes to civil rights, that it's 2025 where it takes someone like Donald Trump to revisit the idea of discrimination to make sure it's not happening in government agencies. It's 2025.
Right.
But this is looked at as a step back for the people that are progressive. They look at this as and say, this is actually a bad thing to hire on merit. They're against it.
It's wild. It's wild. Yeah. Like, the guy that they're accusing of being the racist is actively getting rid of racist policies.
I know. Well, how about this, too? Can you look at this in lawyer terms? And I know we have Brad Young that's going to join us in the show later. What a landmark SCOTUS ruling when it comes to, was it 7-2 ruled that Donald Trump can revoke protected status for immigrants pending appeal, which is huge. That's a huge ruling. And you think about it, 7 Supreme Court justices looked at the law and realized that, yes, he has the authority to do that. So I know we're going to talk to Brad Young about that. But isn't that something, too? If I were a lawyer, I'd be thinking to myself, how many clients can I line up that can prove they were discriminated based on race, sex, or religion over the Biden administration years because their hiring practices factored those things in and it's the reason why you were not considered? I would start figuring these things out very quickly because, number one, if you work for the federal government, don't you want to be hired by merit, or do you only want to be hired because there's some quota that is the underarching or the overarching type of agenda?
Man, one of the things that I think about whenever you talk about, like, if you're hired because of a quota or something like that, one of the things that always pops into my head is that undermines the ability of the person that is, like, you know, hired because of their race. That person may be an excellent employee, but because you said, oh, we're going to hire somebody... I Kamala Harris is a good but bad example of this because she actually wasn't very good at her job. But she always had, because Joe Biden said, I'm going to have a woman who is also a woman of color be my vice president.
Right.
So you just what you've got hanging over that person's head is that. Well, there will be people out there that will say the only reason that person got that job is because they fit those two things. No, it would be much more valuable to a person like Kamala Harris if she was hired because Joe Biden said, I want to hire the best person for the job, and that person happened to be Kamala Harris. That would look
Isn't that funny?
Much like, better on her resume.
Let's look at this as like a Democrat-Republican thing. So you have Joe Biden that said this, and then let's go back to Mitt Romney when he ran for president, and he said, I have a binder full of women, meaning that he had applicants that were specifically women that they were considering for high-profile jobs, and he was looked at terribly because, I mean, they look at that as one of the things that sunk his rating among women, and they harped on that when he was running up against Obama. And now you have a Joe Biden who said, well, I'm only going to consider women of color or a minority or whatever it may be. And they were looked at as, let's cheer for Joe Biden for that. The hypocrisy in some ways. I think that's worth noting. I know that this was a quick break because we want to be able to get to the B or not the B with Ethan. So we better take that break now so we have a little bit of time to do this, because we ran a little bit late with Dr. Jay Bhattacharya, National Institute of Health Director. And by the way, if you missed that interview, just get the Odyssey app and rewind about 15 minutes ago or so, 20 minutes ago. Yeah, about 20 minutes ago.
We'll put it up on the podcast.
And you can listen to that interview. Yeah, we'll put it up on the podcast. You can get it the YouTube. On the YouTube page, yeah, you can scroll back. I mean, the archives will be there. You'll be able to do that later. So well worth your time to go back and listen to that. We're going to take a break now. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Andy Fry, 97.1 FM Talk.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Nice music selection today, Ethan.
You know, there was a little bit of a message behind this one, Ryan. There's been a thing when Annie is out, and usually Ryan Wiggins is hosting, when they have this whole Manny Fry show thing going on. Been a little bit offended recently that my name isn't included in anything, you know? Annie's out. Ryan and Brad are in. Well, you know what? I exist too. So all I want is a little bit of R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
I agree. Okay. I think that I will talk to Wiggins and say, where's Ethan?
I appreciate
Where is
that.
He?
Exactly. Yeah, send him a firmly worded email.
Yeah, there we go. That'll do it.
All right. We're off the right bat here with the be or not to be.
Wiggins! Oh! Wiggins!
The be or not the be.
All right, is it really a Friday on the Andy Fry Show if you don't have the B or not the B? I would argue no. So that is exactly what we're going to do here at 12:45. If you're not familiar with this segment, you have to be the judge and decide whether or not the article title is real or satire from the Babylon Bee. So we'll go ahead and we'll get started with this first one. Federal judge overturns law of gravity.
I think that's the B.
It has to be the B.
It
yes.
is the B. What a surprise. The country was thrown into chaos this morning as a federal judge from the D.C. District Court overturned the law of gravity nationwide. The law of gravity is a bigoted law that quite literally keeps people down. This is typical of the fascist authoritarianism that has become President Trump's brand, said Judge Porbin Crumbly of his latest ruling. It is a blatant violation of the Constitution and my sensitive leftist sensibilities. It is therefore my divine will as an all-powerful federal judge that gravity no longer exists.
That one's a banger. Uh-huh.
That's a good one.
Indeed it is. You know, it is funny. I know we've been talking a lot about this the last couple of days, just on the station as a whole. And I know Carolyn Leavitt, did you guys hear her comments yesterday on just the, during her press briefing on... She just went through, I mean, in the first, how many days are we in? 130 now, probably?
Yeah, right at it.
She went through all the different things that judges have blocked and the amount of warfare that's been going on in that. It's just another thing that this administration has had to deal with, Mr. Wrecker.
Yeah, I totally agree that it's not a fair standard. So during the Biden versus Trump administrations and the amount of attack that goes on against Donald Trump, it was par for the course. We saw it during his first administration. We knew this sort of thing would happen. But one of the things that's interesting about Donald Trump is he found a way to just continue fighting nonetheless. And I think his approach changed this time around, which is I'm just going to do it anyway, because it doesn't matter how I approach it. You're going to fight it in court anyway. So if the ends is the courts, then might as well just do it now and let's get it as fast as we can. So that's why I think he's doing a lot of what he's doing.
On to the next one. Church planters meet to brainstorm dumbest possible name for the new church.
that's a B article. It's got to be a B article.
It is the
yeah,
B. Oh, no. There it is. According to sources close to the discussion, a group of evangelicals met at a local coffee shop to brainstorm the dumbest possible name for the new church they are planting in the area. After reportedly agreeing on matters of doctrine in about 5 minutes, the group moved on to the important task of deliberating terrible church names. Proposed names started off with quickly rejected suggestions like Houston Community Church before eventually considering names like No Cap Church, Living Vibe, Terminal Velocity Church, all caps, Alive with an exclamation point, River of Impact. There's quite a few other ones here. It finishes here with, after about 90 minutes, a member of the group, who was later identified as Matthew Chambers, claimed to have come up with the perfect name. What about Hope House? It's like a house, but full of hope. Get it? It doesn't get much better than that.
Oh, man.
I love it.
You are seeing deeper into this generation we get. You are seeing a lot more creative church names out there. That is for sure. Okay, on to the next one here. Stephen Miller calls out CNN on live TV for using politically correct buzzwords.
You said Stephen Miller?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I think this is real.
It's got to be. I mean, when you bring him into it.
Of course it's real. I mean, this one was too easy. There was way too realistic characteristics of it. CNN, politically correct buzzwords, that's pretty much all you needed. It didn't even need to be Stephen Miller. So I'm going to read through this transcript here. Pamela Brown says, an undocumented migrant sent a letter threatening to kill the president, promising to self-deport after the assassination. This has been a big story the last couple of days. And this is an undocumented immigrant. I do want to know that. Miller says, I want to clarify what you mean, so we're talking about the same thing. Are you saying this immigrant was here illegally? Brown says, yes, but I am, and that's why I said that. I clarified that. Miller responds with, you said undocumented, and I wasn't clear what that means. I assume they have a fake ID, and I'm assuming they have a fake social security number. I'm assuming they have a passport in their home country. She responds with, that's neither here nor there, Stephen. I want this to be, and call me naive, a good faith discussion about what's happening right now. And he finally, to conclude, says, when we use language that's designed to obscure the truth, that's not good faith. An illegal alien is an illegal alien. They're not an undocumented immigrant.
Stephen Miller is a stone cold assassin. There's no way I'd want to be on the other end of an argument with him, because he will hold you to task. And he's like, nah, I'm not finished yet. I need to finish my point. And he will absolutely humiliate
you. It almost doesn't matter what the topic is either, because he's such a good debater. You know, he reminds me in a way, you know, guys like Ben Shapiro or Charlie Kirk, that just like, it doesn't matter what the topic is, unless it's your area of expertise. Then maybe it's 50-50. Good luck otherwise.
Yeah.
I you know what? I've never really considered it that way. The undocumented would assume that they hold zero documents. But in a lot of ways, sometimes that document comes from, like, for example, where I live here in Michigan, you can get a city of Detroit ID if you're an illegal immigrant. You can still get something that would show them what your name is on some laminated card. So that technically counts as a document. Undocumented, they make it sound like they are off the grid. They are a ghost, which is really not the case, because there's a lot of governments that do produce you some sort of document. So it is disingenuous to say that you should be saying illegal immigrant, something that really describes exactly what it is.
On to the next one here. The White House asks judge if there's anything the president is actually allowed to do.
Ooh.
What are we thinking, guys?
Do we have any transcripts? Because that could actually...
We do have some information. We do have some quotes in the article, yes.
I hope it's real. I hope it's real.
Okay, Ryan hopes it's real. I'm going to say B, so maybe one of us will be right.
It is the B.
Oh!
In an attempt to clear up lingering confusion over the role of the nation's chief executive and avoid ongoing injunctions to block executive actions, the White House asked a federal judge if there's anything the president is actually allowed to do. After being repeatedly stymied on nearly every attempted action, the Trump administration sought clarification to find out what exactly the president is allowed to do, if anything. So, like, can the president do anything or no? Asked lead White House counsel David Warrington in a brief submitted to a federal judge. We were totally under the impression that the president is, like, you know, really important, has a lot of power. But if that's not the case, it would be helpful to know. Are there any actual things that he can do? Or is the presidency more just like a powerless ceremonial title like the King of England or the Governor of North Dakota?
Wasn't that Doug Burgum?
Carolyn Levitt even apparently had some comments on this, saying it would be great to find out. I thought the president was in charge of the executive branch and could make decisions, but maybe not. We've learned he's obviously not as powerful as a federal judge or something like that. Getting some clarity on whether or not he can actually do anything could make the next 4 years a lot easier.
Man,
love it. I love that so much.
We have like probably time for one more here. Yep. Can I just say one thing real quick? I think everyone just kind of assumes, like, because Trump is just such a beast that, like, oh, he's good. He's just going nonstop. Mm-hmm. I don't know how people like Will Scharf or Carolyn Levitt do their jobs.
Keep up,
with how much demand there is. You know, Carolyn Levitt is a new mother, like a 1-year-old baby. I do not know how you can possibly do it all. And it would shock me if most of these people made it all 4 years because of the demand of it.
Like burnout and stuff like that. You do see a lot of turnover in the White House and stuff like that. And this is most administrations, not unique to the Trump administration as far as the turnout. But yeah, I mean, we're on air from noon to three. And at the end of the day, from a 3-hour radio show, I'm exhausted.
I get it. Well, do we have time for one more? Or do we have to go?
Time for one more? Yeah, we have time for one more.
Let's do a quick one.
Okay, here we go. Last one. In quotations, I'm comfortable with my masculinity, says man with zero masculinity.
That's the bee.
That's real.
It's the bee.
No, that's real.
According to sources, a local man, Florian Beeve is his name, has stated that he is very comfortable with his masculinity despite having no masculinity whatsoever. No. Reporters caught up to Beeve as he was riding his electric bicycle away from the favorite fair trade vegan muffin shop. Yes, I'm very comfortable in my masculinity. Unlike most men who are extremely insecure, he said while tucking his jasmine scented hair under his white Dudes for Harris hat bike helmet. Men like me aren't afraid to express their masculinity in unconventional ways. Take that, all you so-called manly men. And that is the bee or not the bee.
All right, I know we got to go to break, but can I just say, sometimes I think I say clever things in my entire life. I'll never be as clever as the Babylon Bee.
Oh,
they
man,
are,
those guys are
so good.
So good. So good.
All right. Well, maybe we'll get lucky and we can catch the Elon Musk exit interview. Hopefully we can do some of that in the next hour. I'm Ryan Recker. Fill it in for Annie Fry, 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.